Donna's ready.
Donna's always ready.
Donna! We already started. I haven't even introduced you, and we already started with the innuendo. It is April 29th. This is gonna air on April 30th. I'm here with Good Morning Gloucester contributor, good friend of mine, Donna Artizzoni. Welcome, Donna.
Welcome to myself. I'm excited to be here.
Well, you've listened to some of the other podcasts. What were some of the other podcasts that you've listened to?
I've listened to Father Green, Melissa Cox, the Mayor Kirk, Vicky and Peter. I've listened to most of them.
Kim Smith?
Oh, Kim Smith. Of course, Kim Smith.
Oh, you're your new best friend.
She is awesome. She just is so... She's so fun. She's just so classy.
I'm starting to wonder about the two of you. You guys are like always comment. Smith. You comment on each other's thing, posts every day.
I'm it's a Kim Smith wannabe.
Do you feel like if you don't comment on her post that she's going to be crying that evening?
No, I just think she's great at what she does.
No, she is.
She makes you interested, like you said earlier about the monarch butterflies, you know.
I know.
Now I'm fascinated.
You can't get enough of the monarchs. Are you going to plant milkweed?
I am.
You're all in on the milkweed. All right.
I'm really excited about it.
Well, it's a very good project. I'm excited about it as well. It's the 18th. She's ordering. I am hopeful that the people that said, yes, give me three, give me five. I hope that everybody shows up because, you know, there's people like our good friend Jen Cullen who says she's going to show up for everything. And it's kind of like a running joke now that she doesn't show up for anything. But she said, and you know, there's always an excuse. But I hope people don't
I think it's going to be great.
Hope they don't stick her with like 5,000 milkweed plants.
She's on the rotary.
trying to pawn it. But think about... when she first mentioned it, I was like, oh, that's kind of an interesting idea. But think about this. If there's like all of these, like all over the city, if we plant this much more milkweed, how many more of these butterflies? I mean, this is going to be like Butterfly City.
It was amazing last year on Shore Road. Mm. I called it rain instead of rainy men. It was raining butterflies. It was just, you were walking through them and it was so cool.
We should explain something too right now before we go too much further. You're not from here.
My soul is.
Your soul is from here. But like if anybody that just reads your post, this may be the first time they heard the accent.
What accent?
So why don't you explain to the people where your accent is from?
I'm originally from Somerville, Mass.
Somerville,
Mass. Lived not too far from Tip O'Neill.
Is that where the Bratches, what is it, the Somerville is
the
where they have the...
Whitey Bulger gang.
The candy, was that where the candy factory?
Necco.
No,
there was
Necco,
and the Schraffs was actually, that's on Rutherford Avenue, you know. It's more Charlestown.
Okay.
But... I'm from Somerville near Davis Square and Porter Square. I worked in both of them.
Yeah.
And
how old were you when you moved to Gloucester?
I've only been here 9 years.
That's it?
But I moved from Somerville, then we went to Arlington. God help me. And then nothing against Arlington. I was only there because I was in college. And then I moved to the suburbs. And I couldn't wait to move to Gloucester.
To Gloucester. Yeah, over there.
It's just... It's a jewel.
Don't start crying on me. I see you tearing up. Don't start. Listen, we're way too early into this podcast for you to melt down on me. Do you know? I can see you welling up already. She's like, you have so much love for this town. So for you've lived here for nine years. But there aren't many people that I know that, well, there are a few that like they move here and then they just immerse themselves. Mm-hmm. I guess Maggie Rosa would be one of those people that just like immerses herself in the community and is like a part of all, you know, trying to do as much things as they can. The Slifers, you know, Bruce.
Melissa
Cox, another person. Something that like, you know, there's a lot of townie type people that have a big time love for Gloucester, but a lot of them like, aren't that involved in like these, you know, a lot of community stuff, and I think they take a lot of the community stuff for granted. And it seems like a lot of these out of towners come here, and they're just like, I think maybe you could explain it from your perspective. Like, do you feel like so fortunate that you like want to just throw yourself at everything?
It's the most amazing thing to know every morning you wake up and you can see the ocean, because that's what most of us wanted to do. We just want to be at the beach, smell the air. Today was amazing this morning, 6 a.m. I'm on my way to the pool, and I'm like, damn, I'm lucky, girl. And I think that it's just like almost anything. When you live somewhere, you think, oh, I got to get out of here. And then it's like, I wish I was back. I am a beach bum and a city girl. So I love the action. I love the ocean. I love the people I've met. It's just everybody's soulmates.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Kindred spirit. There's a lot of kindred spirits.
There are a lot of kindred spirits. There's also, there's a lot of... I think the thing that binds everybody together is there is an intense sense of pride in this place, for sure. Like, people, not everybody agrees on everything.
Right.
I mean, you have some hardcore left and hardcore right folks, but everybody feels passionate about this place. It's not just a place to go home, put your key in the lock, close the door behind you, and go to sleep. And then, you know.
That's what the suburbs are. That's why they used to be called bedroom communities.
Yeah, well, they're still called that.
Yeah, because... You didn't really work there. You didn't. There wasn't a lot of passion, and I think I get some of that passion from living in Somerville.
Yeah,
because you had that as a kid growing up. Mm. You know, your grandmothers—they're very embedded in
Somerville. So Somerville was a tight-knit community.
Very tight-knit community,
yeah.
And you know, then Harvard University and being able to walk to Cambridge to Harvard University—that's where we hung out. We didn't hang out in a mall.
Yeah,
Leechmere Station and Harvard Square.
Yeah.
And to me, I see a lot of the same similarities up here. Mm. There is a lot of passion.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opinions.
Yeah.
But you know what they say, I don't care what your opinion is as long as you have one.
There you go.
You know, you have to have an opinion. And some of the bedroom communities are kind of flatlined.
Right.
Yeah. And we are up here, there's no flat line.
There is no flat line.
There is no flat line.
You just have to try to catch your breath every once in a while,
yeah,
because it's go, 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 go.
Oh, if I went to everything that was I was involved in, I wouldn't be able to have a job.
So why don't you tell people what brought you to Gloucester?
We always took the kids to Winkasheek, a good harbor.
You're a beach person. I know you're a beach bum.
I'm a beach bum.
Yeah. All summer long, we lose you to Magnolia Beach.
I am a beach bum.
Yeah.
And I used to work, I didn't work on Thursdays, so I took the kids on Thursdays. We went to the beach, and we went to Winkasheek, and I meet my sister there. And
so why did you pick Winkasheek? So here's a question. Why did you pick Winkasheek over Good Harbor? Because it's a quicker exit, quicker
well,
to get to?
Yeah, and when you have four kids...
It's easy to keep track of?
It's easier to keep, plus whatever orphan I had with me that day.
Yeah.
You know, I always had somebody's friend with us, so it was much easier to maintain sitting near the same lifeguard stand, you know, and it was easier for me. Mm-hmm. And it was a little closer to get to.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I can get to, we used to go at 7:30 in the morning.
Oh.
I know. I packed the lunch, we'd be there. And,
God bless the beach.
And,
so the beach is what brought you to Gloucester.
Beach. And I've always went to the waterfront festivals.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the boulevard is unbelievably beautiful. You don't see that anywhere. We still have a main street.
Mm.
As visitors who come to visit me say, you have a main street.
Yes.
Nobody has main streets anymore. And I just love the fact, every corner you drive around, there's the ocean.
There you go.
And it looks different every day.
Every
moment.
I didn't have an appreciation for it until I went away to college, and then within a couple months, it was like, whoa. It was like an eye-opener. Everybody should be forced to leave this place for, you know, 6 months, I think, at least, and then you can get a whole different perspective.
It's like if you're inland, you can't breathe.
Mm.
I get claustrophobia.
Claustrophobia. We got claustrophobia. We can do Kim Smith, la la la, and then we have Donna Arizona, claustrophobia. Yeah, exactly.
The Somerville class coming right out.
Somerville is in the house. Yes, it is. So let's talk about the 1 hour at a time gang. How did the 1 hour at a time? Why don't you tell people what the premise is and how it got started?
Well, the 1 hour at a time gang started. We were at an ambassador's meeting at the chamber one day. Bobby Gillis, Ed, myself, and someone saying a little problem. And then, of course, we're thinking, do we have meetings? I said, no meetings, nothing. We're just going to go out on a Saturday morning for 1 hour, and we're just going to pick up. I don't want to hear anybody's complaints. I don't want to hear moaning and groaning. Just get out there and do it. And we've been doing this, I think, since 2008.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe 2009. It's really hard to remember. And, we just decided we're doing it. And because I'm not for this,
committees,
putzing around and yak, and you're sitting there doodling because you want to give people some pills to move it on. So,
there we go.
Or I want to give them some pills to chill out. But so we just, from bank presidents to myself to Ed, Melissa.
Paul Morrison seems like he's been showing up.
Paul Morrison has been awesome.
Yeah.
And,
so you pick a different area weekly?
We pick a different area. We try to cover the areas that my feeling is most people should be taking care of their own property. But we try to get to Main Street. We did Stage 4 Park with Patty Amaral, the saint of it all. She, on Saturday, we were at Stage 4 Park. And we just say, Noah asked us to help with the Mill Pond down off of Denison near Captain Hook's there. Mm-hmm. They contacted us, and we were all down there, and we had a great time. Mm-hmm.
Who thought picking up trash could be a good time? That's the way you say it.
I probably.
That's the way you say it.
See, and I hate litter. I am like...
Yeah, you and Patty Amaral, the two litter...
My mother would have grounded me if I threw something out a window.
Yeah.
And she's been gone for 8 years, and I'd still be grounded. So, So, it's been instilled in me.
Yeah.
And you look at the beauty of, and so it makes me crazy. It makes me nuts. And then what I do is, instead of doing too much of this, which I do a lot of yapping anyways.
She's moving her hands like she's yapping. Okay, just so people, this is an audio podcast in case you're wondering.
People who know me probably said the hands are going everywhere. But you just go out and do it.
Yeah.
We can have a meeting by picking up trash.
There you go.
And Tony Carrera was involved in, cigarette butts and all that stuff. And more people see you do it, more people start to do it.
Well, I think once an area is picked up, if it stays picked up, then it stays picked up.
Yes.
And once they see one or two little pieces of trash, it seems like it just grows exponentially.
It does.
What are some of the items that you find most often discarded?
Don't find much money. I did find a 20.
You did?
I did.
Oh, there you go.
And I felt guilty about putting it in my pocket, but I did anyways. Cigarette butts.
Cigarette butts are brutal.
Brutal. And I know that some people who have done this don't know they're littering.
It is.
And there are people who have said to me, this is my punishment when they're picking up cigarette butts for doing it all their, as a young kid, throwing it out the window. This, sometimes you find a glove, and it's like, where's the other one? Ed Collin and I were going up Main Street, and we were picking up Q-tips all the way up, clean, brand new. And all we could think of is that person got home from CVS, opened the bag, and all that was in there was the box and no Q-tips.
It might have been some little kid.
I think that the bag broke a little, and the Q-tips in the box, and all, and it was one of the funniest things.
So cigarette butts? What about plastic
bottles? Plastic bottles.
Styrofoam cups?
Styrofoam cups. And I have gone to people and tell people to throw the butts away in proper receptacles. I mean, Rick worries about me sometimes because I'm, the mouth is very big.
And the body not so much.
The body not so much. But I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Cigarette thing drives me bananas.
You know what?
There were a couple of years ago, I almost got in a lot of trouble. There was these same people, I'm not going to mention the name of the store, but it was a downtown store, and the people that worked behind the register would go out just about the same time every day in front of a vacant storefront that was next to them and smoke, and I would watch them flick the butts into the street. And the only reason it really set me off was because at the time I was on the downtown block party committee. We were putting on the block parties, and afterwards we wanted to leave the main street in better condition than it was. So we, you know, we swept, we walked the street with the plastic bags, and in this particular spot where the, I saw these people smoking and flicking their cigarette butts, there was like in the between the street and where the sidewalks are, where the curbing is, it was like all filled in like at a slant with just stacks and mounds of spent cigarette butts.
Disgusting.
That, you know, we picked up, and I'm like, this. And then I saw a couple, like a couple days later after I had picked them up, and you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, 12:30 at night, you know, you were with us.
Yeah.
And so you're tired. You know, the thing goes off without a hitch, the block party, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen, and you're nervous, and then, but it goes off, and you're tired, and I have to get up for work, obviously, at 3:45 a.m., so then you see the people the next day flicking the cigarette butts, and you just, so I picked it up, it was still smoldering, and I went into the shop, and I put it out on the countertop, and I says, I think you left something behind. The lady started screaming at me. She says, I'm going to call the cops, and I made the mistake of leaving. I should have said, I'd like you to call the cops. Please call the cops. Let's talk about this.
Yep.
And I didn't. And I left. And the lady was really upset with me.
Well, people have got upset with me, too, because they're like, what do you know? But my psychiatrist says this. She said to me, if they don't care about the, what's going in their body, do you think they really care about what they're putting on the street?
Yeah, that's right.
And not all smokers are that way. I mean, there's smokers that are very courteous, and sometimes you don't even know they are. I call them stealth smokers.
Stealth smokers. You got a term for them and everything.
Stealth smokers. But it's actually very good to do, because you feel like you're doing something, giving back. We have so much.
You feel
so
you
lucky.
Definitely get more out of it, even though it seems... To the outsider, like the, when you do these kind of things, it looks like, oh, that looks like such a chore. Who the hell would want to do that? But like, I know the feeling that you get afterwards. You're like, it was an hour, right? You know what I mean? And you did some good. And you get so much more back, and you feel great about it.
And it's exercise. It's good for the belly.
Yeah, outside.
When you're bending down, and you know, it's actually exercise.
Yeah.
You got to put that in your daily.
There's a lot of exercises you do when you bend down and take it.
But well, we don't want to
talk about that kind of thing.
We'll talk about that off air.
So anyway, what are some of those areas of the city that you consider like habitual problem areas? Like you could clean it up and like 2 weeks later, it's just a mess again.
Because I found them, they're like wind tunnels. Mm-hmm. There's certain places on Rogers Street near a business that, and they become wind tunnels and everything just blows around. There's certain storefronts on Main Street, and I don't want to name names.
No.
We'll talk about that after.
Don't name names, but yeah.
Yeah. That are continually pits.
Mm.
And then you have other merchants though on Main Street that really, really care about their window fronts.
You see certain ones that are out there 7 days a week sweeping.
Sweeping. As long as they don't sweep into the sewer.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No, because some of them sweep into the sewer, and when that happens, it goes into the ocean.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, and you don't want you don't want the fish eating cigarette butts.
Yeah, I don't want
that. I don't want to see them picking up that habit.
Oh, that would be terrible.
That wouldn't be too good as I'm out kayaking watching someone ask for a light, and it's a flounder or something.
Donna, you're crazy.
I know. I like it.
Lord.
My poor husband.
So through the blog, I guess it was, you've developed a strong friendship with Kim Smith. What is it about Kim that has drawn you to her?
She's a very gentle soul.
Yeah.
And
very naive and gentle.
She's gentle. She's a strong
woman. Are you worried about her at all? Like, is she so gentle? Like,
I
worry.
No, I think
she's
very strong.
You think so?
She's very strong.
You think she just puts on the naive?
Well,
she's
a very classy lady.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. But she's... Kim Smith is very strong. She's a strong woman. I give her a lot of credit. She just, that she can be so classy and strong. I mean,
She's got an eye for design. I know that. She's got an eye for design. She's very talented.
She's even her house. She's you go there for tea and it's...
No. Kim Smith's theme music.
Well, you know, and you have her curtains are all made and, you know, she makes curtains and clothes. She's a very talented person, and I'm fascinated because, you know, for someone like me, the people I hung around with in Somerville didn't have that kind of talent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was a good girl, but it wasn't.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so I tell was me, a good girl.
So okay, so moving on to this. What you eat out quite a bit. Not a ton, but
no. Yeah, I love breakfast. That's my
favorite.
You're
a big breakfast person? You're a pint of peanuts. I don't know how you don't weigh 100 pounds, 1,000,000 pounds. But what are you? So what are some of your favorite? What do you say? What do you say? Someone from out of town comes to town. What do they have to try?
I tell them if they love a popover, you have to go to Passports. Mm-hmm. Great breakfast, Mamie's, George's. I mean, you could just be huge.
That is. The breakfast thing huge. Here is, I mean, the Fort Square Cafe.
Fort Square Cafe. They make a bullseye. That's the little egg and the bread.
Yeah, yeah.
My mother used to call them bullseyes.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think they call them one-eyed Justin's.
Yeah, something
George's,
like that. Cause, but,
and they call it, Heidi's got a different name. Everybody's got a different name.
But my mother called them bullseyes. And when my daughter Erica went there, she goes, Mom, I had a bullseye, you know, because my mother called them that. I think that I love jalapenos.
You do?
I love jalapenos.
What does he love about jalapenos?
I love their veggie burrito.
Yeah.
I know I'm wild and crazy, but I love their veggie burrito. It's one of the best. And I love Stones because the atmosphere in Stones is just...
Like the people of Stones.
And the people of Stones. And, you know, there's just the brewery.
Cape Pepper.
The brewery's fun. My little granddaughter, who's just turned 7, wanted to go get a steak bomb there because she loves the steak bombs there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, they have, there's just so many places that, and of course, Stuckworth. I mean, that's for the nice dinner and everything.
Yeah.
But I'm
if you're going to eat on the water, where do you eat?
At Lat.
You got friends, okay, so you got friends from coming in from
yeah,
out of town.
We
it's
go
a
to
Saturday,
Mingle
it's
Wood
a Saturday Lat. Afternoon.
Ooh,
where,
sitting
it's,
in the Lat.
It's a warm. It's a warm Saturday afternoon. You're going to Lat 43? That's where you're going?
Love to sit there. We go to Seaport Grill, too, but Lat. Because Seaport Grill's fabulous, too. See, and that's the thing. When you say to someone, "What? Where should I go?" You know, I mean, people ask me all the time on the street, and you're just saying, oh, you go there and go there.
I know.
There isn't any place I don't think I would say don't go to.
Mm-hmm.
There
no.
might be one or two, but not really.
No,
because sometimes you might.
There's no place that I would say, "Well, it's not gonna be. It's not gonna be great." But then there's so many that are like, "Wow, that like I wouldn't say anybody. You can't be average in this town.
No,
you can't
no,
be average.
And that's what's good.
Yeah. Right.
We
yeah.
have you know like when you go down the North End, you have that type of competition.
Yeah.
Of course, we're not as large, but we have restaurants all over the place, and they all do something different.
Mm.
And if one doesn't step up to the plate, somebody else is going to.
Right.
So it's, I mean, but breakfast is my favorite thing to go to. I love going out to breakfast. And then I have take half home, and I have the other half of breakfast the next morning.
Oh,
that's what
go.
I do at George's or Mamie's or, yeah, when they have the roll-ups there. Mm. And I get all excited knowing I have a good breakfast.
You're funny.
I come back from the pool.
So, Donna, what local events are some of your favorite local events?
I loved Celebrate Gloucester. Mm. That was such fun. I mean, we worked with Vicki and Peter on that, and it was so much fun. And to have music for 8 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, you were there. I mean, it was just like amazing to just have that going for 8 hours. I like the block parties, of course. I mean, that's just because that's a good time to just chat.
I like the block parties that they've gotten there. This thing where it's fun for families, and it's not the focus isn't on drinking.
Right.
I mean, you can go there and have a few drinks.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't see people stumbling around.
Oh,
you don't see fights or anything like that.
No.
But I really like the block parties. I wish that the downtown. From, say, the week before Fiesta or the week after Fiesta, all the way through Labor Day, I wish that they would, the businesses or the restaurants would chip in and hire a manager to close down the block party streets on Friday and Saturday nights, and... Or one night. Say Saturday, so that way there you don't have to screw up all the other
the
banking institutions and stuff. Saturday night every week, instead of doing it four times.
And maybe eventually that'll happen because it's very successful and there's been no problems and People making, you know, and it's fun. Yeah. You're sitting outside, and this one's going by, and that one's
It's like European. Like, when, you know, we went to Italy, everybody, it's all outdoor cafes, and everybody's there, and it's social, and it's, you know, there's people making money, but people having fun. I shouldn't have said people making money, because that right there is the kiss of death. If people hear that people are going to make money, they're going to rail against it.
Yeah,
you know, like, oh, no, the devil.
But don't they understand? If they make money, then the circle of life starts, you know, this one. And then the Schooner Festival is probably one of my favorite.
The Schooner Festival
should be,
I think they're going to do a better job this year. It is, it's an awesome, awesome event that, it is the best event that hardly any, like, local Gloucester people really know about. You know what I mean? Like, there are the schooner heads that, like, love it and go down there. And then there's a few fringe people. But the masses do not participate in this thing.
And it's to take your kayak out, like Rick and I did last year, and go by the HMS Bounty, God bless their souls. And we went by there. It was huge.
Yeah.
And to see some of the skippers and the mates just lying on the hammocks out, you know, it was just
I talked to like awesome. like 3 or 4 years ago, I did a ton of interviews with the mates and of all these boats, and they like a lot of these boats come from ports like, you know, like New York City or, you know, all up and down the coast, and when they come to they love the port of Gloucester. They love it. And you know, they all kind of universally say, I wish I could move here, you know, especially the ones from New York.
Right.
Just, they don't have like these port community kind
of thing is, when you pull in here, you're in awe.
Yeah.
You know, when you look around it.
It's always such a nice time of year, too. It's that dry, the fall, you know what I mean? Late, early fall, late summer. And it's, you know, you get those dry, sunny days.
And you can walk. And that's another thing I like about here. I can do a lot of walking. You either want to walk in Ravenswood. Yep. Once I got lost in there and I was like, okay, I've had enough wilderness. I got to get out of here.
I've never been in Ravenswood.
Oh, it's beautiful. I went the wrong way.
Okay, here's a question. Have you been to Halibut Point?
Yes.
All right, what do you like better, Ravenswood?
I like
Halibut Point was amazing to me. I can't imagine
it being nicer. Ravenswood, though, is more exploring. Like, you might see an owl. See a deer.
Yeah.
And I get all excited when I see animals.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm a girl from South.
So you liked... Oh, there you go.
There right, I go. So I get all like...
So did you see animals when you went to the Ipswich Wildlife Sanctuary? Ipswich River Wildlife Sanctuary in Tussle. That's the coolest. Paul Morrison took advantage of that.
I did, because of your post.
Yeah.
And my grandchildren were crazy. They couldn't believe that the chickadees were right around their feet.
Yeah.
It was, I love all that kind of, I'm always looking for deer, and because I'm like, you know, crazed.
Yeah.
And foxes, and, you know.
So you're saying, you feel like you'll see more wilderness on the Ravenswood.
Right. And also there's wood carvings and the shape of the trees, and sometimes when you're in there, you feel like you're really
like a canopy.
In a cover. Yes, and it's beautiful. And then you walk up to the ledge, and you can see Eastern Point.
Really?
Stunning.
From Ravenswood?
It's stunning when you go that way. If you go towards Fernal Lake, where I got lost, I was like, okay, I got to get out of here now. I got to find a ladies' room. I got to get out of here. But up, you take a right when you go in there, and you go up, 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 and there's beautiful view.
Yeah.
And I like Dogtown, too. Rafe Chasm, I live right near there, so I like to go out there and kind of take in the smells and the sound. And it's all about appreciating.
Rafe's Chasm, but it's just one little shot,
yeah.
Right?
But it's really
pretty.
It's not
like you can't spend hours there.
No, well, I could spend hours at the ocean.
Yeah.
But it's just you come out of the woods and there's the
describe to me your perfect beach chair.
The sand.
Oh, you don't use a beach chair?
I do have a beach chair, but I love to sit in the sand. I love the sand on my feet.
What supports your body? What do? You dig a hole
Remember when you're pregnant, we used to do that.
No, I don't remember being pregnant. Not recently.
I love the sand on my skin.
Yeah.
And the salt.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel it's, you know, if you have a little arthritis or you have a little eczema or poison ivy, it's all gone.
Oh, my God.
When you
Donna and her list of ailments.
Nice. No, I don't have those. But the sand, I love the sand. I will put my, if I go to the beach now, I'll put my socks on with sand on my feet. And people are like, oh.
That's a little strange. I'm not going to lie, that's
nice
strange.
Nice little pedicure.
All right, that's fair. You and Rick have gotten into, in the last couple of years, you've gotten into the kayaking thing.
Yes.
Is it kayaking or is it ocean kayaking?
Ocean kayaking.
And did you buy your own?
Yeah, we did. We went to Dick's.
Dick's and Sporting Goods?
Sporting, they show you how, you know, they have you sit in them. Mm-hmm. And to see how you, you know, the stabilizing. And we love it. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's great exercise.
One time cost, you basically, you're out, then you're out on the water, right?
Yeah, and you know.
And you don't have to pay for dockage or anything. You
nope.
Just stick them in your
yeah,
garage.
It's pretty heavy for me to put it in the car. Because they weigh 47 pounds.
47 pounds is not that much more.
Yeah, but I don't weigh that much more.
It's a little awkward though, right?
Yeah, they're 9.5 feet.
So you put it on top of the car.
We have a
roof rack.
Rick, of course, the genius that he is, hooked up some sort of thing so we can get them on there. Yeah. And we go off from Magnolia. We go off from Jones Pier near Winkishie.
I saw you in the harbor here.
Yep, remember the day? Yeah. We came from Pavilion Beach. And we went down there.
So,
it's
wonder, is there a place, there's got to be a place in, is there a place in Gloucester Harbor you can rent kayaks or no?
I don't think so.
I think
which
they
I
tried
think
that
would
a while
be,
back, but they didn't do
but
it. That's Cape Ann stand up paddling.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun too.
You've done that.
I've done that. That's fun. Yeah. That's a lot of fun. But I love kayaking because Rick and I can do it together.
Yeah.
I bring my little camera out there, and you see seals.
Yeah.
You go out to 10 Pound Island, and it's just oh. It's. I get so excited.
It doesn't take much. Actually, that was the. I solicited questions for you, and Paul Frontero had. We're gonna end on this. Paul Frontero asks, "How can you be so fucking bright and cheery all the time?" Paul Frontero.
I eat frozen blueberries every morning. I don't know.
Is that what it is?
No. What does my daughter Erica say? I am a pessimist's worst nightmare.
I like it.
I am a Pollyanna. You know, I've been. You know,
that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. I don't have the time.
Or the energy.
Or the energy
or
to be.
The energy to be negative.
Moaning,
negative
groaning.
Nancy. No, we don't like that.
Ugh. Sometimes it's like, get that cloud away from me.
Get that cloud away.
Get that cloud away. But I like to be happy. What are you going to do?
There you go.
I'm grateful.
Grateful for this place, right?
I am, and I
and
become a happier person.
And your friends.
And my friends, and you especially. You have been.
And a lot of friends through Good Morning Gloucester you've met.
You have brought this. Eclectic group of people together.
Eclectic?
Eclectic.
Eclectic?
Eclectic.
Kleptomaniacs?
Eclectic group of... group of people that we normally probably wouldn't have mixed together because...
Yeah.
I mean, Paul Morrison was a scientist.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then...
No, all a huge range. I mean, we have
a
wide range. Yeah.
Which is
EJ? I mean, every one of us is a little bit different, but we all love each other.
We love each other, and it's a family.
Everybody except for Paul Morrison, he's a prick.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. That's a joke.
No!
That's a total joke.
I know he's such a good guy, and everybody is always so. That's very funny.
It's funny. Rubber duck race is coming up, though.
I know.
Now that the mayor said they were going to get that thing fixed, we're going to have the rubber duck
race. I have four of them, too, that I have in my house. I'm going to donate them to you.
Oh, all right.
I have four rubber
ducks. We'll have to clear them with the,
I think they're just like those.
The committee.
They have the little tops on.
Oh, here we go. All right. For Donna Artizzoni, this is Joey Shimataro. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Joey.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.